2 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child.'" If you remember with our program the other night, the infant, it was not the infant Jesus that the wise men came to see. It was a child. Remember Herod said that would have the children killed under the age of 2. So by the time the wise men got there, that child would have been upwards close to probably 2 years old, the baby Jesus. "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." The writer, Bible commentator Matthew Henry said this, said, "Israel was led by a pillar of fire to the promised land, the wise man by a star to the promised seed, who is himself the bright and morning star." So here we see the story of the birth of Jesus and the wise men. Don't say how many there were. We have a tradition. We always use 3 wise men, and that's probably because of the 3 gifts that were given. But the scripture don't say how many there was. Here they were following a star, and in my career in the music business, I heard of musicians and entertainers talk about following a star. And the star that many follow in the world today is the wrong kind of star. It's a star of self-glory, of fame and fortune. But here, the star that the kings of the East were following led to one who would deny himself. He would take on the form of a servant. Mentioned this morning, born in a barn. And this holy thing, as the scripture referred to Christ, was the bright and morning star of eternity. The root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And these kings were following a star to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And what a gift that Christ gave to the world. These kings from the east, and I remember years ago noticing in Scripture that when Solomon got wisdom, they said his wisdom exceeded all the men of the east. Never once mentioned, you'd think that all the wisdom was centered around Greece and the Western world, but evidently all the wisdom was found in the east. Just a little nugget there to remember. Exceeded all the men of the east. And notice that these kings came from the east. Just a little sidebar there. They brought the choicest treasures from the east to celebrate this heralded event, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they would shower their treasure gifts upon the greatest, most precious gift that God could ever bestow upon mankind. And I've heard it said, and I believe this, that God bankrupted heaven when he gave us his only son. He gave us everything that meant anything to him when he gave us his precious son, Jesus Christ. He showered his ultimate gift of love to mankind and a selfless act of redemption for the people that he created. You remember that the Lord said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down willingly. I lay it down of myself. And so that was God's gift to us. And the most precious gift would himself give all of himself to and for a lost and dying world. That's why we need to be approach people, the lost world, with a gentle spirit. Gentleness and meekness, not a haughty spirit and a mean spirit. The world's seen enough of that. They need some meekness. If you recall, why I've mentioned this before, Moses. Why in the world would God choose Moses? What quality was it about Moses that God chose Moses to lead that nation of perhaps 3 million people out of Egypt? And you'll find a verse that says, for Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Wow. We don't have a lot of meekness. Well, maybe Donald Trump. But we don't have a lot of meekness in the world today. It's haughty spirits. But the most precious gift would himself give all of himself to a lost and dying world. He loves us that much to do that for us. I don't understand that. But the Bible says he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. And even though he did all those wonderful, marvelous things, mentioned this morning, gave sight to the blind, healed the lepers, cleansed the lepers, made the deaf to hear again, and gave health, made the lame to walk again. And before he was through giving, the Bible said he gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that would pluck off the hair. His home and glory, he traded his home and glory for a crown of thorns, and he didn't have to do that. And his broken body he gave to the cruel cross of Calvary. And that's the Christmas story. He came to die a death. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to redeem a lost world who he loved. The greatest expression of love. For God so loved. Not just loved, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The prophet Isaiah said that he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. I may have read this verse today in Isaiah 53. It says he was wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah 53:5. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's why it's kind of tough. How can man come up with the thought that I've got to help God out? We get in our head that we've got to help out God out with salvation. No, we don't. He did it all. There's nothing that you can do that would complement what he did when he gave himself that broken body on the cross of Christ. You don't add to it. You don't complement it. You believe it. You trust in it. You embrace it. Appropriate it. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I often deal in our addictions program. I often deal with folks with a lot of guilt. Most folks, when they end up in our addictions program, or a lot of those folks, they've burned all their bridges behind them. Nobody believes them anymore. They've burnt bridges with mom and dad, aunts and uncles, friends. They've lied and stolen and done everything in the world to those who love them. And they burned all those bridges. And they get to the point where they try to come clean and try to get clean that they just can't forgive themselves. And when I tell those folks, I said, you got to get rid of the guilt. And God don't want you to hold on to guilt. God wants you to move on. And here's why. Because whenever you hold on to that guilt, whenever you refuse to let go of that guilt, basically what you're doing is accusing Jesus Christ that what he did on the cross was not enough to pay for what you did. You see where I'm going? Yes, it was. What he did was enough to pay for anything I did. That's the only way I can preach. I still think God may have got the name wrong, but I'm preaching because I know now that God called me to preach. But if I kept bringing up, what's the song, digging up bones? If I started digging up those old skeletons and bones of the sin in my life, I wouldn't have preached a word. But God forgiven me. His broken body, that's a gift of God. He died in my place. When he died on the cross, he paid for every sin that I committed, every sinful thought, every wicked way that I had, he paid for. He says, all you have to do is receive it. Receive it. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Those kings of the east, they were very wise, I'd say, to offer the best of their gifts to the greatest gift giver of all time. Jesus, if you recall, would later tell the woman at the well, he said in John 4:10, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. What a gift. Some of you are here tonight, may have grown up poor. Didn't have much, maybe. Some of you didn't have much at all when you were kids. Growing up, we never were poor. My dad always had a good job, seemed like, and worked hard. We didn't know that we weren't poor. I mean, we lived off the farm. Big gardens every year. We raised hogs. We raised calves. I don't remember ever going to bed hungry or without something warm to keep me warm. And I knew I was loved. But not everybody did that. Some folks grew up poor. When Joyce and I got married, that's when things got pretty poor. I was trying to be a music star, traveling with Bill Monroe and James Monroe. And James Monroe, when I was on the road in the music business, paid me $35 a day. And that is about 1972. $35 a day, and I found out we could be gone 2 weeks and maybe only play five shows during that 2 weeks, and I got paid the $35 of those five shows. Not every day we were gone. I'd leave poor, I'd leave broken, I'd come home broke. Now, I don't know where all that's going. Let me move on here. But I've talked with people who have been through a lot of poverty over the years. And many told me that they wanted their children, when they got older, they wanted their children to have all the things that they never had as kids. And I don't think that's a good way to look at it. I see today a lot of parents going in debt. They'll spend the first 6 months of the next year paying off credit card debt that they'd spent on their kids. And the amount of goodies you'd bestow on those kids, that's for you. That's not for them. Because as a boy, there's five of us kids, we got one good gift. If I got a good gift, that's a gift that cost about $10. My today's standard would be 50 or 60. And then I got a lot of little stuff. But it's not the amount of things, the abundance of things you bestow upon them. You got to teach them. It's the love that you show when you give that gift. But I hate to see parents go in debt. Thousands and thousands of dollars on credit cards. They'll spend the first 4 months of the year trying to pay that off. Oh, I want my kid to have Christmas. Oh, he'll have Christmas. That don't mean you got to spend $2,000 on him. Little sidebar. I'm getting a little opinionated tonight. And I understand a lot of that. It's natural for you to want to be a blessing to your children. That's a natural thing. You want to be a blessing to that child. You know, the Bible says, for my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. And we think, well, that's talking about need. But you know, God also wants to be a blessing to you from time to time. I mean, isn't that how you are by your kids' Christmas time? Didn't you want to be a blessing to your kids? I mean, if my mom and dad at Christmas time, if all I got was socks and T-shirts and underwear, I'd feel like I got ripped off. I wanted some toys. I wanted a BB gun. I finally got my wish, and I think I shot out every window of the chicken house that first year I had that BB gun. I got more whippings over that BB gun I wanted so bad. But the point is, God wants to be a blessing to you. And here, when he sent Jesus Christ, it was a blessing like none other. A gift of God. The greatest blessing that you could ever be to those you love would be to point them to the one who loved you first. Acts chapter 3. Now, as parents will labor We'll labor to provide for our children's health. We'll labor to provide for their educational needs, their food, nice clothes, a good home. We labor for all that, and we should do all those things. But there's a gift that all the money in the world can never buy. There's a gift that your money can't buy. There's a fellow over in Acts chapter 3, and this fellow, he had been lame all his life, and he had been to every doctor in the country. He'd probably tried every quack cure that he knew of. You know, you get sick, all your friends will give you some kind of quack cure that'll fix you up. Well, here's what you need to take. And another would say, you need to do this or you need to do that. Am I telling the truth? I'm worse than that than anybody. Hey, I've got some stuff that really worked good for you. But I'm sure that, let me move on. This guy had been to every doctor in the country, and nobody had been able to help him. So he had finally resolved himself to just go begging for a living. And he could get by if folks that were kind enough to give him a little money now and then. And see, he really believed that what he needed most in life to survive was money. And he spent his day asking alms, the Bible says, of everyone that came his way. And Peter and John showed up. And when they showed up and he's asking alms, they offered him something above all the gold of Ophir. I'll read the story, Acts 3 and verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. See, he had based his need on a false assumption. He had anchored on the assumption that money's what he needed. No, he needed something that would get him on his feet. That was Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God. 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Hey, you do not earn a gift. If you had to earn a gift, it would no longer be a gift. It would be wages. For the wages of sin is death. You earned death because of sin. The wages of sin is death. The last half of that verse goes, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't earn a gift. It's either a gift or it's not a gift. When I deal with folks through salvation, I'll use the analogy. I'll say, if you go out here and wash my car and I give you 10 bucks, that's not a gift. You've earned it. But if I just say, here, I love you, here's $10, that's a gift. That's what God did with us. That's why you got to watch about mixing works with grace. Paul said it's either all of works or all of grace. He said, having begun in the Spirit, he told the Galatians, are you now justified in the flesh? James said this, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our problem is that many times we seek the temporal and we overlook the eternal. The Bible still says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. He that spared not his own son, it says in Romans 8:32, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You've got a good job tonight. You know who gave you the power to get that good job? Who gave you the health to get that job? God. Why do you think those 24 elders are casting those crowns back at the Lord over there in Revelation? Because he knew, those elders knew that what they're giving to God came from him to begin with. Everything you have. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. It all belongs to God. You've got it because God has blessed you and allowed you to have it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are you saved, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's not talking about rolling over and playing dead and living wickedly after you get saved, because the next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You should live right, not to get saved, not to stay saved, but because you are saved. Show some gratitude, and hopefully that heart will have a heart's desire to serve the Master. Matthew 2:1, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God poured out a great gift upon us when Jesus Christ came to this world. He said it'd be to all people. Not just the Baptists, not the Catholics or Methodists. To all people, all races, all creeds, all nations. Whosoever will, let him come. An old preacher said he said the elect in Scripture are the whosoever, are the whosoever wills. And the non-elect are the whosoever won't. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's a gift from God. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. I'm done. Have you received the gift?